us for the rest of their lives. So as difficult as things get here, I really appreciate the freedom of speech, the academic freedom is a corollary to that we celebrate here on campus, and the ability to hear each other and talk about things that are uncomfortable, but that need to be talked about. And I want to say that we're all stakeholders in that, and that we should all be proud of that, again, as difficult as it is. And I'll kind of close by saying I'm looking forward to hearing all of the people that are here to speak to us today. This is a good place for that. I think the boundaries are push and pull of what does free speech mean to many, and people have different opinions of that, but clearly this is a place that is very, very appropriate as we try to figure this out. And I just want to close by saying, let's all turn the temperature down a little bit across the country and be examples for our peers. We're in another place in our country where people are getting shot at. Politicians are having attempts on their lives. Young activists are being assassinated, both certainly the left and the right. I myself attended a candlelight vigil here for the young conservative activist, Charlie Kirk. Well, a lot of people take issue with his opinions, but I attended to be supportive of free speech and the fact that we need to stand against political violence of all sorts, whatever their party, whatever their affiliation. I would stand in support of people that stand against that. And I think that as we go forward here at Michigan State in this semester and in the year, we all need to look at each other and find the 80 or 90% in common that we have, because it was the great poet, I think, Maya Angelou, who said, we are much more alike than we are unlike. And I'd like to keep that in mind as we go forward. I still appreciate all of you in the room here today, and I look forward to hearing everything that you have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Baylor. Trustee Kanaki Jefferson.
Thank you. I'll be very brief. I just want to, again, extend a welcome to our new Provost Lorley. Thank you for being here. JBAT is obviously off already taking care of things. We said he was hitting the ground running, but I'm grateful to have him join us. And Jim Hintz, thank you for joining our one team. And I am so grateful to you, our president, Kevin, for bringing them on. I think they're all here because of you. We're all here because of you. And I look forward, and I'm very grateful to all of my colleagues on this board to our continued work together under your leadership.
Thank you, Trustee Kanaki Jefferson. Trustee Vassa.
Good morning. Three staff writers at the State News were named the 2024 Student Journalism winner by the National Education Writers Association. MSU Journalism seniors Alex Walters, Owen McCarthy. Is Siri talking to me? What's she saying? Do I need to pay attention? Oh, okay, you're good? Okay. Theo Shear. I just wondered if she had something else. You okay? I don't know where Siri is, but I'm good? Okay. Oh, now. Siri messed me up. Okay. Inside, their project was honored. Inside the Nassar documents, the judges said the reporters created the fullest account to date of Michigan State University's response to the Larry Nassar scandal. He said, my hat is off to these students for quickly organizing an effort to comb through a huge trove of documents that were released in a way that officials would hope would make it so hard to search and read that it would stay out of public view. And the reporters worked quickly amid their usual classes and other work to get a series of impactful articles out. This is the second time, the second year the association is named a college winner. The State News also won the first year's award, as Walters won for his coverage of Title IX at MSU. I'm grateful. Sometimes journalism can be lazy, that I've learned, not necessarily trying to ferret out the truth, taking one source stories and running with them. This was hard work. Having gone through those documents myself, it was very difficult, arduous work. And I'm grateful because I personally wanted those documents released and took a lot of time and hits to get that done. So I'm grateful that someone actually went through them with journalistic integrity, and that Michigan State and State News are honored for that. So thank you, you three. Appreciate this. Inside the Nasser documents also earned first place in the Regional Society of Professional Journalists contest and first place for news writing in a quarterly Associated Collegiate Press competition. I would just like to give them a round of applause. I don't even know if they're still here. Theo. Oh, you are. Owen. You don't want to stand. Alex. No standing? Okay. And I also want to highlight how Michigan State University observed Disability Pride Month, recognizing the achievements, experiences, and contributions of people with disabilities. The university shifted the observance to October so more students and staff could engage and offered events like a virtual disability summit, an adaptive sports day, and accessibility-focused workshops. I also want to acknowledge the efforts of the Resource Center for Persons with Disabilities, University Health and Well-Being, Accessibilities, and other partners for creating a more inclusive campus environment where disability identity is visible and valued. I also want to commend the launch of MSU's new Office for Civil Rights Data Dashboard, a first-of-its-kind tool in higher education. It offers transparent, accessible insights into how the university addresses discrimination, accessibility, and prevention efforts. I do know that the BSA called for this for the last 3 years, and so I want to say that I thank VP Ruggles, who continues to impress me. She just demonstrates consummate integrity, exemplary transparency, and unwavering accountability. Accountability is not popular, and so I admire you and your leadership. I think she's still here. I can't see. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your continuous improvement in civil rights. Today I was trying to choose between which earrings, my dad or my mom. My dad is a veteran, and he looks very handsome in his earring that has him in full uniform. But I told my mom, my dad was a soldier, but my mother was a warrior. And sometimes my mother would explain to me that it's not always popular to hold people accountable. It's certainly not always popular to go against the grain. But she demonstrated that to me. She didn't tell me all the time. She showed it in her life. And I've been told by a previous president that, Rima, if you would just smile more, and if you would just give more compliments, and you would be, better received. And I thought, I wasn't a cheerleader in school. I played ball, kickball, flag football, sometimes touch. I didn't cheerlead. I wasn't a mascot. That's not who I am. I do like to have fun. I like to celebrate, but I'm not always going to be the person who brings the good tidings of joy and happiness. I'm just not that person. And I know that makes me unpopular sometimes, but in the spirit of my mother, I was raised this way. I woke up this morning this way. It's going to be the same way tomorrow. So I don't apologize. I don't apologize. I want to tell you, on Tuesday, I had the privilege of witnessing something powerful. Middle and high school students from Detroit presented education policy recommendations directly to mayoral, city council, gubernatorial candidates, elected officials. The policy summit, people like DeLauren, Brandon, Hayden, Alexis, Peyton, they didn't just complain about the policies that were affecting their lives. They conducted research, analyzed data, and proposed alternatives. They did this work over 6 weeks, and they did it with someone from here. Jordan Roebuck was a BSA leader a couple of years ago. He's now at DC. I want to make sure I get his title correct. Development Associate and Advocate for CBCF, and he's a JMC alumnus. He flew every week for 6 weeks from DC to work with these kids. This is what MSU can produce when you have people who are checked in, doing the hard work of community engagement. Right. These students understood what we sometimes forget. You can't say our students, our children are the future if you won't let it write. You won't let us write it for ourselves. That was one of the quotes that they said, which brings me to what I've witnessed over the past year. In February, federal courts blocked enforcement of executive orders targeting diversity programs. Yet, we have continued dismantling our equity infrastructure as if those orders carried legal force. But what troubles me most, we began this work before the orders could possibly be enforced. In October 2024, before the election, we stripped CORS of its departmental status, removed office space and advising support from an organization, fought for this since 1990. We've told students these changes are required by state and federal anti-discrimination laws, yet we cannot cite which statutes require us to ban phrases like underrepresented or historically marginalized. We presented policy choices as legal requirements, and the timing. Even as we dismantle support systems, our students face escalating racial violence. The Black Students Alliance had to launch Hate Has a Home Here because our initiative rang hollow. CORS groups that once accessed $100,000 now compete for $4,500. Those Detroit students on Tuesday showed what shared governance actually looks like. They weren't asking for permission to have opinions. They were demanding their rightful place in decisions that affect their lives. Perhaps we should have done more of the same here. I heard the students yesterday talk about how this came like a rug being pulled from underneath them. They just had no idea. Well, if you are inviting students into the process of policymaking, then there's no surprises. You arrive to the conclusions together. We should have asked, what do you need? How can we navigate this political moment together? What would genuine partnership look like? Instead, we made decisions about them, for them, but not with them. The question before us isn't whether we'll face federal enforcement. Courts have answered that. The question is whether we believe in shared governance or whether we only extend that principle to those who already hold power or whose opinions you believe in. Our students are watching. Now they know exactly where we stand. We owe them and ourselves better than this. Go Green.
Thank you, Trustee Vassa. Trustee Deno.
Thanks. So I'd first like to give a shout out to radio station WKAR for winning 8 regional Emmys. It's a great accomplishment by a great radio station, and I'm sorry for everything the radio station has had to go through with these cuts. I want to recognize the, pain, for lack of a better word, pain that BSA, CORS, and CAMS is going through right now. I tried to study the history of students of color here at MSU, and I next book up is Dean Perro, Deg Bovey's book. So I have really been trying to figure it out, and I know I assume it's been very difficult what you're going through. You know, our students of color have fought to be recognized by this university. Our students of color have fought to have a safe place on this campus. And you fought to get your funding, which is a really big deal. And I assume you feel that is all being completely taken away from you, and you're back to square one. And so I'm just sorry about that. I'm sorry for everything you're going through. I'd like to try to work with you and hear from you. I'm always trying to be available and accessible to our students. And then finally, I just, again, would like to thank law enforcement for all you do in our communities every day. Thanks.
Thank you, Trustee Denner. Trustee Behal Cook.
I want to acknowledge the recent investiture and state of the university where we celebrated our amazing faculty and where President Guskowitz highlighted the incredible progress happening across MSU. It was inspiring to see our shared work in research, student success, and community partnership and how it's shaping a bold future for the university. Thanks to the team that organized the event, which was flawless, and we're now preparing for our upcoming winter and spring commencements. Their thoughtful planning helps create moments that truly reflect the pride and spirit of Michigan State University. And early congrats to those graduates who will be walking across the stage in December. I also wanted to take a moment to congratulate this year's winners of the MSU Grand Awards that President Guskowitz referenced in his remarks earlier. These are our alumni who represent the very best of Spartan achievement and impact. Among them are Darius Adamachik, Dean Felk, Linda Hubbard, Nancy Colley Brandsetter, Todd Pentagor, who are all honored with the Distinguished Alumni Award, and then Essence Wilson, who it turns out my husband knows her husband from Flint, so you know the world's small. Rex and Sue Smith, they were all three of them recipients of the Alumni Service Award. Jeremy Orr and Lucas Van Etten recognized with the Young Alumni Award, and as been mentioned earlier, Mike and Mary Lemuck, who received the Philanthropist Award and whose generosity is that $10 million gift to the Ennie Center. We heard a quote in the video of the Spartan tour how important an MSU graduate is. These 10 people really, really represent that in the ways that they have been given back to their community. So kudos to them. I also wanted just to take a moment with the looming food insecurity. I think many of our folks on campus will be feeling with the temporary loss of SNAP benefits. I want to thank the state news, our student affairs, the University Health and Wellness being in the Spartan Food Security Council for the efforts they have been making to let folks know if they are facing food insecurity, there are resources on campus. We do not want students dropping out of school because they can't access food. And so that's been taken care of. If you need to learn more, please contact University Health and Wellbeing or read that article in the state news. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Hawcook. That concludes trustee comments, and now President moves us on to public participation on other items. We'll now proceed to that portion of the meeting. Each individual who has signed up to speak will have 3 minutes to address the board. You will hear a buzzer at the 30-second mark, and again when your time has concluded. Given the number of speakers today, we ask that you do not exceed your allotted time. Note that persons scheduled to speak may not cede all or part of their time to other individuals or read statements on behalf of others. We will now hear from Shawnee Vickery, followed by Nikesha Phillips. Shawnee, are you with us? Okay. Our next speaker is Nikesha Phillips. Nikesha, are you with us? Good morning. Good morning. And our next speaker is Daniel Bressy via Zoom. So, Nikesha, yep, you're ready to go. Yep. Whenever.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yep. Right. Go ahead. Thank you.
Greetings. My name is Nikesha Phillips, and I'm here on behalf of the Black Students Alliance as its political affairs director. Just some preliminary information for you guys. Since 1967, the Black Students Alliance has served as one of the most enduring student voices on this campus, a voice born from necessity, rooted in advocacy, and strengthened through decades of resistance to systemic exclusion. The space we occupy today, the chorus groups and the cultural center, are not gifts. They are a result of struggle, of organizing, and students who demanded that Michigan State University live up to its promise of equity. Today, that promise feels like it's being broken. In light of recent changes to DEIB language and structure, and with the board now moving to remove diversity from Vice President Jabbar Bennett's title, I must be honest, this is not progress, it is regression, and it sends the message to every marginalized student that our belonging here is conditional, that the university's commitment to justice is negotiable, and that when federal pressure arises, the first thing to be sacrificed is the very work that makes MSU a safe space for us all. For weeks now, our organization amongst CORS and CAMS have been told that identity-affirming language in our Constitution that defines who we are and why we exist must be removed in order to remain compliant. We have been told our funding is suspended and that we must wait for an undefined new source of funding. No documents, no timelines, no transparencies. Despite all of this, the president has not met with us directly. While other student leaders were invited to share their perspectives at a dinner with the administration, BSA was not among them. When we requested a meeting, we were told to wait until November to speak not to the president himself, but to his subordinates. So I asked this board, how can a university claim to value diversity when its own Black students are excluded from conversations that determine their existence? How can you measure equity when the various groups that ensure representation have been stripped of their ability to represent? And how can we talk about belonging when students must erase their identities to stay recognized? Michigan State University stands at a crossroads. You can choose compliance or you can choose courage. You can be the board that defended diversity or the one that dismantled it in silence. We, the Black Students Alliance, are not asking for special treatment. We are demanding accountability. We are asking this board to stand firm in its moral responsibility to respect the spaces, the language, and the people that define this university's progress. Because if you remove diversity from leadership, if you dilute inclusion to appease compliance,
nope, keep going.
If you dilute inclusion to appease compliance, you are telling every Black, brown, queer, and marginalized student that their safety and visibility are negotiable, and that we cannot and will not accept. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Our next speaker is Daniel Bressy, appearing via Zoom, and then Isabella Tillotson. Daniel, are you with us via Zoom?
Yes, I am.
Daniel, good morning, and please begin your comments.
Sorry, I'm trying to. Sorry about that. I was trying to get my video feed up. Sorry. If you guys can't see me. I just wanted to address the board. First, I want to actually indicate that this is a very good board of trustees. I've actually been a part of quite a few investigations across the breadth of different consumer protection matters, stuff like that. And this board of trustees really does care about this institution. It's evident in this meeting here. I'm raising this concern to the board by virtue of the fact that complaints have been forwarded to OARC about the College of Osteopathic Medicine stealing money from applicants for secondary applications and having taken 7 months to propose a conclusion to it. The contents of that investigation, of which have not been disclosed to anybody. And so I wanted to press the board and remind them that they do have ultimate oversight over this institution. And I do ask that they support full transparency and disclosure regarding the College of Osteopathic Medicine secondary application sales. And I just want to remind the board more and more litigation begins, especially after students v. Harvard and students v. UNC, institutions like MSU are going to face more litigation down the road from other applicants. And if it's continuing its process of selling secondary applications to everybody, but not actually reviewing the contents of that, it's eventually going to get found in future litigation. So I do ask that the board take the concerns rather seriously and push for full disclosure of the OARC complaint. That is all for mine.
Thank you, Daniel. Our next speaker is Isabella Tillotson, followed by Elisa Hakeem. Isabella, are you with us? Okay. Our next speaker is Elisa Hakeem, followed by Carrie Grishaber. Lisa, good morning.
I graduated from MSU in 2024. I was active on campus, winning research awards, mentoring others, and taking on student leadership positions. One of these positions was Vice President of Academic Affairs at ASMSU my senior year, at least until I resigned after other students discriminated against me for my Arab and Muslim backgrounds and retaliated against me for my anti-genocide beliefs. At some point, I was even threatened by a former member of the Israeli Defense Forces during an ASMSU meeting where administrators were present and did nothing to protect me as a student. After I graduated, I took a gap year and traveled to Lebanon. The genocide in Palestine was ongoing, and Israeli threats to inflict the same violence in Lebanon grew, but I knew I had to go before continuing my education. I had cousins that I hadn't even met. I had a 112-year-old great-great-great-grandmother that I worried about constantly. I hadn't seen my grandparents, aunts, uncles. Sorry, could you pause the time, please? Could you please pause the time just for a second?
No, Lisa, the timer has to keep going.
Okay. I hadn't seen my relatives in years. We reunited and had beautiful memories until the day I was supposed to come back to America and got bombed by Israel. Me? Me, my grandma, three aunts, and three cousins went shopping that day. And I will never forget the way the ground shook underneath me as an Israeli bomb hit a block away. I will never forget the smoke that filled the room or hearing my grandma's screams or watching one of my aunts crying, worried about her mom, while her 2 8-year-old sons tried to console her, not knowing what was going on. I won't forget holding my 12-year-old cousins while we cried into each other's arms as she called out for her dad, who wasn't even there, hoping that he would hear her and somehow save her. I won't forget the debates of whether we should stay or go, not knowing if Israel would drop another bomb, maybe on people as they fled or on people as they waited it out. And I won't forget calling my family in America, telling them I loved them, not knowing if I would see them again. Once we fled and were safe, Eli was the only person that helped me when my leasing company in East Lansing wouldn't extend my date. And now I'm back here not knowing how you guys would have reacted if I had died, if my name would be misspelled on a plaque on a tree like Thodic Thabit's, or if you would acknowledge my blood on your hands. Divest now.
Thank you, Elisa. Our next speaker is Carrie Grishaber, followed by Drew Nahat. Carrie, are you with us? Good morning.
Good morning, President Guskowitz and board. My name is Carrie Grishaber, and I am here with my colleagues representing the members of Extension United Local 1855. I am also one of the finance and homeownership educators who brings MSU's mission to life across the state. My professional focus is teaching Michigan families how to build stability, how to budget, how to save for a home, and how to plan for a solid future. In my work, I see the price of instability. For MSU, that price is high turnover. When our compensation falls behind the cost of living and market rates, our skilled professionals leave. This forces the university into a continuous costly cycle of recruitment, training, and program disruption. It costs the university far more to maintain this instability than it would to sign the fair, competitive contract that we're demanding. Through many individual and community conversations with our members, I have heard the same message over and over loud and clear. We are not making enough money to sustain for long. In the wake of stagnant wages and rising costs of living, our colleagues are holding out hope for a fair contract, but are weighing the heartbreaking decision to leave their beloved community work at MSU Extension for other jobs before the economy moves on without them. When you invest in us, you are making a direct investment into the economic resilience of every community we serve. You are protecting the integrity and reach of the MSU brand in every county by retaining the best talent in the state. I guarantee there is no better marketing campaign than a successful MSU Extension program. We are the face of MSU in the community. We are the Spartan bus tour. Every single day when we show up in our community centers, our schools, and farms across the state, Michiganders notice when we are there. but even more so when we are not. I assure you, Extension is united, and our demand for competitive wages, benefits that support our families, and respect for our expertise is not an opening position. It is a necessity to continue being the community-facing branch of MSU. We urge you, as the fiduciary leaders entrusted with the long-term success of this great institution, to instruct your administrators to finalize a contract that stops the bleeding of talent and ensures the financial stability of the educators who proudly represent you across the state. Our union's presence here today is proof of our determination. The last time we came together before you, we were fighting for recognition. When your administrators did not recognize your neutrality resolution, we went about it the hard way and we won that fight. We are more united than ever and we demand a fair contract because we know the true value of MSU Extension workers. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie. Our next speaker is Drew Nahart, followed by Peyton Squires. Drew, are you with us? Peyton Squires, followed by Olivier Stroud. Peyton, good morning.
Good morning. Hello, I'm Peyton Squires. I'm an out-of-state Honors College student here. However, I bleed green and white. My grandparents met here, and my grandfather is a large donor and proud alum. In fact, he likes to recite the story of how he took a prize turkey for a joyride as a senior prank. That is why I'm here today. At a university that prides itself on its students and alumni, it seems insane MSU would harm the safety and well-being of their own students. Tariq Thabit was a human above everything else. He had a wife, a child, and strove for them above everything else. He was considered a tech whiz and beyond compassionate and warm by his peers. Tariq was a member of the selective Hubert H. Humphrey Fellowship here. During his tenure, he fought to uphold small businesses in Gaza. However, little did he know his return to Gaza after would be his last. Since 2018, Michigan State University directly invested in General Dynamics and additionally invested $96.8 billion in BlackRock strategic funds that greatly increased its ownership within General Dynamics. Over 2020 and to 2023, the majority of General Dynamics investments went into backlog and military contracts. In 2023, a shipment of thousands of MK-84 2,000-pound bombs were shipped to the IDF from General Dynamics. On October 29th, one of those bombs hit a residential neighborhood, killing Tariq and 15 members of his family. 2 years ago, on this very night, his death was confirmed, and the institution he served, he gave his education to, won't even recognize his name. Consciously or unconsciously, MSU helped to finance his death and, at the bare minimum, finance the institutions involved. Despite holding an aspect of responsibility on one of their own students' death, Michigan State refuses to even say his name. And while there should have been vigil speeches and scholarships in his honors, he got a plaque with his name spelled wrong. We, the students, carry on this honor, never letting this entrepreneur, an accomplished businessman, a father, a husband, another student's voice pass in silence. We're calling for the board to recognize him and carry on his legacy by showing support for Arab students in his name. They need to reopen the Council of Graduate Students proposal for student safety after Tariq's death that passed with 30 out of the 38 votes. Listen to us. MSU needs to do the right thing, to divest and drop the charges on Eli. If not for us, then for a fellow student who won't go silently.
Thank you, Peyton. Our next speaker is Olivier Stroud, followed by Zainab Zokot. Olivier, are you with us? Our next speaker is Zainab Zokot, followed by Adrian Sleer. Zainab, are you here? Good morning.
Good morning. Give me 1 second. Hey, good morning, trustees. I'm speaking as a concerned MSU student in my second year pursuing an environmental engineering degree. My program can be steeped in ideas of progress and sustainability, but it is hard to believe MSU truly holds those values when I see repeated instances of injustice permeating this campus at a systemic level. I find it abhorrent that our university, supposedly a bastion of intellectual discourse and free speech, would press charges against the student and worker Eli Foltz for speaking up against unethical investments. MSU has millions invested in weapons manufacturers such as Lockheed Martin, Boeing, and the BlackRock Emerging Companies Fund. MSU has turned a blind eye to calls for justice in a time when we are seeing documented war crimes carried out by Israel against unprotected schools, UN centers, and hospitals in Gaza, with proof of weapons from the formerly listed companies being used in the attacks. In recent months, that refusal has turned into active suppression of activist voices in a time where free speech of students especially is under attack. MSU went as far as pressing charges against Fultz, threatening his degree. MSU student research programs have made an active investigation into the merits of sustainable investment. This method of investment means investors create portfolios with goals of progress in mind, keeping a diligent eye on the ethics of their investees. MSU, on the other hand, is not only complacent, but actively violent in its finances, holding money for weapons companies, money that could have been invested into bettering the community. Rather than engaging in arrests, scare tactics, and silencing against peaceful protesters, MSU needs to do the work to be a truly authentic educational force, one that puts its students and its mission over profits. I sincerely urge you to drop the charges against Eli Fultz and divest from weapons manufacturers and the State of Israel. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Adrian Slear, followed by Josie Callender. Adrian, good morning.
Morning. Morning, members of the board, President Guskowitz. My name is Adrian. I recently graduated from MSU with an IDS degree. I'm here this morning to defend the right of students and consequently all people to speak freely on campus. Free speech is, of course, what members of the Huria Coalition, including Eli Fultz, engaged in on the afternoon of August 24th when they protested nonviolently, as they have been doing for over 2 years, MSU's continued complicity in the genocide, colonization, and apartheid of the indigenous Palestinian people perpetrated by Israel. But Eli and Eli alone is now being punished for speaking freely in the form of disciplinary charges filed by one of the dozen police officers who swarmed to shelter the president from the threat of a well-informed student body who knows their rights and speaks up for the oppressed. The action taken by DPPS sets a dangerous precedent, representing a weaponization of this disciplinary process against the current student, university employee, and prospective graduate. I was at the impact stage that afternoon, independent of the Huria Coalition. The students engaged in protest chants at times and were otherwise respectful of the event. Board meetings take place just once or twice a semester, so students must take advantage of rare opportunities to influence key decision makers. I can assure everyone that while Eli is now under threat of prosecution, the president was never in any danger, nor has he ever been in any danger due to the peaceful actions of the Huria Coalition. This attempt to punish dissent is a symptom of our current moment. The American experiment has reached a pivotal point. Everyone here today understands this. It is becoming increasingly risky to speak truth to power, indeed, to speak truth at all. The threat comes not from student bodies who oppose the erasure of an ethnic group, but from thugs in high places. I must agree with Trustee Vassar. There is a lack of courage and leadership. The American university has stood as a bastion of free speech for centuries. I urge you, President Guskowitz, to preserve this tradition in the ugly face of fascism. Too many institutions have already caved. President Guskowitz, this is your chance to take a stand. Don't resort to threats and intimidation, the scornful tactics of lesser institutions. Instead, set our university apart by upholding the constitutional rights of your students. I urge you to encourage DPPS Lieutenant Brandman to drop the charges against Eli Fultz. Members of the board, find your morality, your empathy, your humanity. Cease MSU's complicity in genocide. You want Spartans to be proud of their alma mater, but if such pride is unconditional, it is paltry and meaningless. My fellow Spartans and I want to feel a pride that is meaningful. Show us something we can be proud of. Thank you, and free Palestine.
Thank you, Adrian. Our next speaker is Josie Callender, followed by Maria Nestorovich. Josie, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, members of the board. My name is Josie, and I'm a junior at Michigan State studying political theory and constitutional democracy, as well as environmental economics and management. I am here today as an environmentalist concerned with ecocide in Palestine and MSU's involvement in it through investment, suppression of free speech, and general refusal to condemn the state of Israel and genocide. The independent expert panel for the legal definition of ecocide defines ecocide as unlawful or wanton acts committed with knowledge that there is a substantial likelihood of severe and either widespread or long-term damage to the environment being caused by those acts. To call what is happening in Gaza anything less than an ecocide would be a horrific understatement. I trust that you are aware of the genocide in Gaza, so I will spend no time on proving that point. Instead, I'll make you aware of the destruction of the environment and ecology in Gaza and how my tuition dollars and everyone else's tuition dollars are unjustly funding these acts. To do so, I've come prepared with graphics to show you how the land has been destroyed over the past few decades and even more so over the past 2 years. Please take out the graphics I've provided and look them over closely. I believe you have gotten those or received those prior to this, trustees.
Might be in your packet.
Yeah. Yes, it's a picture of Palestine. Yes. Do we have those here to look at? No?
In the back, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay, perfect. So if you recall, that land showed satellite images of Gaza in 2023 compared to 2025. The red area shows the damage of the majority of the populated land in Gaza. In 2023, that land was not severely damaged, quite minimal. Still bad, but minimal. Now it is majority damaged. The second graphic shows the same damage in more detail, specifically the loss of trees and agricultural lands. This is textbook ecocide. Israel unjustly bombs Palestine, knowing that each bomb expands the territory of ecological degradation. The recent UN report stated that over 200,000 tons of explosives had been dropped, leaving Gaza an open minefield. There is no land for food, no land to sequester carbon, filter air, or provide any of the four ecosystem services that I spend my classes learning about. We all have the privilege of living on a green campus, and we cannot deny the utility of nature. By sending my tuition dollars to weapons manufacturers and the state of Israel, MSU is forcing me to actively fund the destruction of land. President Guskowitz, you are one of MSU's 9 decision makers, along with 8 trustees, with the power to end the university's investment in the genocide in Gaza. I urge you to divest from all businesses and projects related in any way to the state of Israel and the ongoing genocide in Gaza. Furthermore, President Guskowitz, I urge you to protect students' right to protest and do the right thing and encourage Lieutenant Brandman of DPPS, the filing officer, to drop the charges against Eli. Thank you for your time. Free Palestine.
Thank you, Josie. Our next speaker is Maria Nestorovich, followed by Dylan Robran. Maria, are you with us? Good morning.
My name is Maria Nestorovich, and I'm a first-year student at James Madison College. During my recent college selection process, MSU has advertised itself as the university is focused on progress and caring for its students. But I'm saddened to say that Michigan State University hasn't been living up to its name, and it's failing many of its students day by day. Perhaps that is due to a board being unaware of the problems going on, but if that is true, the board must act now, as plausible ignorance is no longer an option. During new student recruitment, Enbridge's representatives have talked extensively about the institution's history of activism, so I will share some of those gems with you today. In 1972, it established one of the nation's first research centers for students with disabilities, the one we know as RCPD today. In 2009, it was recognized by the U.S. News as being among the best national universities for diversity. And of course, it was the first university of the United States to divest from companies operating in apartheid South Africa. That is quite a legacy. However, I'm no longer a prospective student, and I'm a part of this institution, and thus I'm faced with all of its shortcomings. I speak on behalf of my fellow disabled students of MSU when I say that the aforementioned Research Center for Students with Disabilities is comically inaccessible. In the few short months I've spent here, I've only known the RCPD to be underfunded and unreachable. The university lost its last specialist in physical disabilities and accessibility over the summer and has made no fruitful effort to replace them. The specialists left at MSU are overworked and unorganized, and it's nearly impossible to reach them. You mentioned you're proud of the events hosted for Disability Pride Month, but I would wager most students on this campus would agree with me that we would rather have those funds invested in an accessible campus, when it doesn't require disabled students to have to hunt down their specialists to talk to them. And yet, disabled students are far from the only vulnerable community MSU has let down. As the funding cuts for identity-based student organizations have already been addressed, I will only speak on them shortly. Demands for them to erase all signs of identity-related language are unacceptable and a sign of the university giving up its fight for marginalized students, when those exact marginalized students are who need the university's attention and protection the most. Finally, one of the most egregious violations of MSU's promise to care for students is the case of Tariq Thabet. One of our very own, who was killed 2 years ago alongside 15 family members due to the genocide Michigan State University is currently funding in Gaza. In Gaza, where Israel just a couple hours ago today wheeled in 30 dead Palestinians, including a family of 13, their bodies covered in signs of torture. And if that or the thousands of deaths of fellow human beings somehow aren't enough for the board to feel motivated to take action, finally divest from Israel, perhaps the death of a fellow Spartan should be. As a student that pays tuition to Michigan State University, I believe I'm too aiding in its choices, and I believe in collective responsibility. So I can do my part as a student to come here and tell you about all the issues that are going on, but it's now on each one of you to actually take action and make sure something happens afterwards. A good first step would be dropping the charges against Eli Foltz, a student whose First Amendment right is under attack. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Rev. Our next speaker is Dylan Robran, followed by Marceline Jones. Dylan, good morning.
Morning. Thank you. My name is Dylan Robran. I'm a sophomore at Michigan State University studying anthropology. I'm here to discuss some of my concerns about MSU's investments, specifically how some of our benefactors and beneficiaries detrimentally affect the public. The benefactors and beneficiaries I'm referring to are weapons manufacturers and country/organizations that are participating in human rights abuses. I hope that you will listen to my argument and divest from these actors. As a preface, I would like to discuss the purpose of public universities, although I'm sure you all know that very well. The goal of universities is to better society by advancing knowledge in various fields and using that knowledge to reform social institutions to improve people's well-being. Hence, anything that we as a university do should aim to positively impact the public, and any action that negatively impacts the public would be antithetical to our purpose. MSU is currently invested in and receiving money from various weapons manufacturers and organizations that contribute to violence, like Lockheed Martin and the State of Israel. I will not lie and imply that I'm an investment expert who fully understands the financial purposes behind all of MSU's investments. That is the expertise of the investment overseers. However, I do understand the real-life consequences of these investments and how they can contradict the impact MSU is supposed to have on the public. Investment into Lockheed Martin supports the manufacture and selling of weapons that harm the public, like the bomb that was used to kill 40 children and 11 adults in the 2018 Yemen bus bombing. Investment into the State of Israel supports their blockade of the Gaza Strip, which prevents civilians from getting access to food, water, and electricity. It supports their deaths due to that lack of access. Even though these investments are made to help finance educational research, which is a public good, when that research is financed in part by human suffering, we cease to have the positive impact we strive to have. Our goals are overshadowed by the impacts of our investments. I hope that my speech today will help you realize that in order to remain a university and hence a public good, we need to divest from actors that negatively impact the public. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dylan. Our next speaker is Marceline Jones, followed by Sadai Calderon. Marceline, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, trustees and President Guskowitz. My name is Marceline Jones, and I use they/them pronouns. I am a second-year transfer studying comparative cultures and politics and communications, and I am also with the Hodea Coalition. I am here today to call for our administration to provide protection for all students and faculty here at MSU. When I first arrived at MSU, I felt pushed aside as someone who was multiracial and trans. For over a year, it has been hard for me to go to class or to travel alone on campus as there is such strong hate and racism. In my first week of coming to MSU, I was alone decorating in my room, and I began to hear monkey noises outside. I look at my peephole, and I see three white women imitating the actions of a monkey in front of my door. I was afraid to say anything, and I cried on the phone with my family later. I made a report about this incident and heard crickets. On Indigenous Peoples Day in 2024, on October 14th and in 2025, October 13th, I saw the repainting of the rock for Indigenous Peoples Day from Beautiful Art for Remembrance and Love to Erasure with Hateful Language Against Indigenous Peoples. Both years, the university did not release a statement to everyone affected by these incidents, and the organizations who perpetrated this hate have not yet been held accountable for their actions. Me and my friends are scared to go across campus as there is ice lurking near in Okemos and Meridian, which is literally 5 minutes walking from East Lansing. On October 9th, there was a suspected sighting near Erickson Hall.
Personally, since the increase of ICE raids, I have had friends detained, and every day I fear for my family and for myself. The university did not release an accessible statement to everyone, nor support nor provide resources to us. In the 2024 to 2025 academic year, MSU prided itself in having the largest enrollment for undergraduate students and increasing access to education. My question to you, Board, and to President Guskowitz is, how can you pride yourself while there are students who are scared to walk on this campus and to be themselves without being harassed by racists and by ICE? I call on you, MSU admin, to divest from the state of Israel and to invest back into the safety of our communities and to listen to our voices. Give us the resources we need to succeed. This starts with you, President Guskowitz, by dropping all the charges against Eli Foltz and working close with CORS and CAMS groups, HEDIA, and SJP, as these are some of the many organizations on campus fighting for advocacy and support in this community. If we can't freely express ourselves, and if you are attempting to silence us for questioning your integrity, do you truly care for the students of this university? Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Sadia Calderon, followed by Cade Limoges.
Good morning.
Good morning, trustees and President Guskowitz. My name is Sadia Calderon. I'm a student here at MSU in my sophomore year. I'm here to address the Board of Trustees and about their failure of protection on this campus when it comes to students. Recently, there have been rumors about ICE raids happening on campus, specifically at Erickson Hall. Now, the university did address the issue, but seemed to lack showing support of our Hispanic students and making them feel safe. Now, as a proud Hispanic student, being the first to attend university in my family, I feel that I'm not supported on this campus. There are many others who I've talked to that feel like they need to be careful with where they're going on campus because they have to watch their bags just in case ICE comes and confronts them. Me, my brothers, my sisters, and others shouldn't feel threatened on this campus when we are here to get our education and have a better future for ourselves and family. The failure of protection for our students is not only happening to Hispanic students, but is also failing our Native American students for two consecutive years on Indigenous Peoples Day and not providing resources or submitting a statement regarding the repainting of the rock with hateful language by Turning Point USA and College Republicans. Kevin, as someone who's fairly vocal on how seeing this university as a big community on social media, your PR person is doing a great job living out these issues. There are countless other situations that have been swept under the rug and never brought up to light. We are tired of it. One recent situation was very alarming, was Ellie Foltz. A student worker and a well-known HURIA member who is beloved strongly by many communities on this campus had recently engaged in protesting peacefully, leading to the disciplinary charges against him. President Guskowitz and the trustees, you have the power to protect students on this campus instead of believing that we are the threat and ignoring us. I urge you to drop the charges against Eli and start listening to your students and community on campus, since we know firsthand how much it takes to make this university feel safe for all of us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Cade Limoges, followed by Vincent Delgado. Cade, are you with us? Good morning.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Cade, and I'm a junior at Michigan State University, majoring in actuarial science. I've come today to express my disappointment in the university for pursuing disciplinary action against a student and employee, Eli Foltz. Last month, an MSU police officer filed disciplinary charges against Eli on behalf of President Gerskowitz. The freedom to express oneself is the main way I have personally found solace from hardship. I do not know Eli Foltz personally, but I know as a student on MSU's campus that if free speech is threatened for one student, it is threatened for all students. If free speech is threatened, then that solace I have found within my inalienable right to freedom of expression will be taken away. The way in which will be taken will be through fear. Fear that I or another student could face disciplinary action for the crime of sharing with the world who we are as people. I feel as if some people might prefer our silence. This quieting of ourselves would not be as demanding. Unfortunately, this silence comes at a cost. The cost being our identities, ourselves, and our values, no longer being expressed, seen, heard, and acknowledged. This silence is not the sound of victory, but tragedy. Tragedy that we cannot safely express ourselves at the university we attend. President Gutskowitz is one of MSU's 9 MSU decision makers, along with 8 trustees, with the power to end the university in the university's involvement in the genocide in Gaza. MSU's decision to weaponize the disciplinary process against Eli, a well-known member of the Huria Coalition, who is engaged in a peaceful protest, sets a precedent that any speech opposing MSU's president or administrative policies may be punished. Public universities like MSU have been and hopefully will continue to be sites of free expression and the exchange of ideas. Threatening and intimidating peaceful protesters run counter to this mission of higher education and undermine students' constitutional protections. President Gutskowitz, I urge you to encourage Lieutenant Brandman of DPPS, the filing officer, to drop the charges against Eli. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Kay. Our next speaker is Vincent Delgado, followed by Finney Paget. Vincent, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, President Gutskowitz, Trustee Balow, and members of the board. My name is Vincent, and I'm a junior studying social studies secondary ed here at MSU. I'm here to express my disappointment in Mike Balow's appearance at the Charlie Kirk vigil. During the 2024 election, as a trans person of color in America, I nervously awaited the results. The other Republican candidate for this trustee board, Julia Madej, was publicly transphobic, and I worried about what this election would mean for the trans students on campus. I was relieved when you won, but scared. And I was fortunate enough to be able to talk to you at a dinner dedicated to MLK. And I asked you for your support, and you said that you had an obligation to serve all students and that I would be included in that. Imagine my horror when I saw your appearance at the Charlie Kirk vigil held on campus September 11th. Charlie Kirk, while his death was unjust and wrong, was one of the most prominent non-elected proponents of hate against many identities, including my own, more than I could list right out here. But for a reminder, in 2023, he called for men to handle transgender people the way they did in the 50s and the 60s. On April 1st, 2024, Kirk called for Trump to propose a nationwide ban of gender-affirming care for transgender people. This is life-saving care for myself and many of trans students on this campus. Trustee Balow, you cannot expect to stand in the front row of a vigil for a man who endangers my community, speak about his death being a gut punch to you, and expect marginalized students affected by Kirk's rhetoric to think you are just supporting free speech and standing against political violence. If you were to condemn political violence, I would expect you to condemn the genocide in Palestine and MSU's investments in the state of Israel and weapons manufacturers. You can speak for one man, but stay silent for hundreds of humans who are being carpet bombed. You ran your campaign on listening to the community. I am here to tell you that there are thousands of us here that do not want our student tuitions to fund the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. Charlie Kirk took full advantage of his right to free speech to spread dangerous and hateful speech, but he had that right and campaigned for the protection of that right. Trustee Balow, I expect us to disagree on many ideas, but you said that you attended the vigil in support of free speech. During your comments during this board meeting, I was just waiting and waiting for you to finally take a stand and stand up for Eli Foltz. I did not get that. With the disciplinary charges filed against Eli Foltz, I no longer feel safe to speak my mind in class. Every time I see police in my dining hall, I worry that they will recognize me from peaceful protests and find a way to abuse their power and charge me with baseless accusations. Trustee Bailo, I urge you to stand with Eli Foltz and demand that Lieutenant Brandman drop the charges against him because Eli practiced his lawful right to nonviolent protests and free speech. As well, I ask you to better represent and protect your trans and marginalized students by apologizing for your decision to pick and choose which lives matter enough for you to say something. Trustee Bailo and the rest of the trustees, I beg of you, divest from the genocidal state of Israel and weapons manufacturers and protect free speech and drop the charges. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Vincent. Our next speaker is Finney Padgett, followed by Tiffany Stevens.
Good morning, President Guskowitz and the administration and the Board of Trustees. I have registered material, so if you would like to take one and pass one down, that would be greatly appreciated. My name is Finney Padgett, and I am a student in James Madison College, as well as a student senator and university employee. I'm here to deliver a statement passed by the James Madison College Student Senate on October 8th, endorsed by the James Madison College Assembled, which consists of faculty, staff, and students, on October 10th. To President Guskowitz and the administration of Michigan State University. Last week, James Madison College Student Senate was notified that the university was enacting disciplinary charges against JMC student Eli Foltz. This comes after Foltz was peacefully protesting during President Guskowitz's speech at this year's participation event. Foltz, along with several other students, participated in this protest, which remained peaceful and nonviolent, yet he is the only student charged with violating university policy for allegedly making President Guskowitz fear for his safety. However, these charges are not about safety. This is a targeted attack to silence student voices. Foltz is a leader in multiple student organizations which have requested meetings with the president and university administration to discuss transparency regarding university investments. All such requests have been declined and student voices have been ignored. Eli Foltz has a history of holding the university accountable and is being targeted for his activism. This is an attempt to suppress dissent and silence those who question the administration. The university is setting a dangerous precedent. Students should feel safe to express their opinions without fear of retaliation by the place many of us call home. Will they start punishing all students who oppose their policies? If students are no longer allowed to protest or express their opinions freely, we risk undermining the very principles on which the United States was founded. Our founders understood the importance of free speech and expression when they wrote the Constitution. The First Amendment guarantees the right to free speech and peaceful protest, which are essential to a functioning democracy. Punishing a student for exercising these rights is an affront to our constitutional values. Voicing an opinion the president is afraid of is not an adequate nor acceptable reason to enact disciplinary measures. We, the James Madison College Student Senate, urge Michigan State University to drop the disciplinary charges against Eli Foltz and reaffirm its commitment to protecting the rights of students. In solidarity, James Madison College Student Senate and James Madison College's College Assembled. On a personal note, I have known Eli for 3 years. He is not a violent person. His time at MSU has been defined by his commitment to justice. President Guskowitz, you publicly stated that you did not file a complaint against Eli, and the state news stated that a campus police officer made the complaint. Why is the campus police officer making claims on your behalf that are jeopardizing Eli's future? This is not just an attack on Eli. It is an attack on free speech and the very principles our university should protect. I urge you to advocate for the charges to be dropped immediately. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Tiffany Stevens, followed by Craig Smith, appearing via Zoom. Tiffany, we're in the good afternoon phase, so good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Tiffany Stevens, and I have been a community nutrition instructor with the FNET program, which stands for Expanded Food Nutrition Education Program. I've worked in this role for 20 years, and in this role, I help families and youth eat healthier with a limited income. My journey with Extension started way before I became an employee. The experience, I was once a participant in the FNET program myself, and that experience changed my life and inspired me to help others in the same way. Eventually, I was hired to teach the very program that helped me, and I have been serving in that role ever since. Through these 20 years, I have dedicated myself to the mission of Michigan State University and the communities we serve. I have also worked hard to grow both professionally and personally. While in this position, I have earned 3 degrees, including my master's in 2023 from Michigan State University. Go Green. Yet despite my education and commitment, my advancement within the organization has been limited. After completing my master's, I received only a $2,000 increase, bringing my salary to $51,699. Can you imagine? Since then, it has remained the same. When raises do come, they are small and that number hardly moves. I love what I do and I love the people I serve. I believe in the mission of Michigan State University, but today I'm speaking both with pride and frustration. The cost of living keeps rising and our paychecks have not kept up. Groceries, gas, and utilities are all higher. There are months when I have to go to the food pantry to make sure my family has enough to eat. Can you imagine? I'm a nutrition instructor teaching families how to make ends meet, yet I struggle to make ends meet myself. I know I'm not alone. Many of my colleagues are in similar positions. These are people with education, experience, passion, and a strong community tie. We show up every day and represent this university in the most personal way, yet we are barely surviving. I'm asking for the board and the community to see us, to understand that fair compensation is not just about money. It's about respect, equity, and recognizing that the heart of Michigan State University not only beats in East Lansing, it beats in every community where extension staff are working, teaching, and caring. We do not want pity. We want progress. We want change that reflects the value we bring. Because we love this work, we believe in it, and we just need the university that we've served faithfully for decades to believe in us too. Thank you.
Tiffany, thank you. Our next speaker is Craig Smith, appearing via Zoom, and then next will be Eli Fultz. Craig, can you hear me?
Yeah, am I coming through?
You are indeed. Please begin your remarks.
Great. So my name is Craig Smith. I'm a faculty member at the University of Michigan, and I'm also speaking here today as a parent of an MSU undergraduate student. I'm also the grandson of someone who lost both legs in the Battle of the Bulge in World War II. And he would have been turning over in his grave if he could have heard Trustee Bailo talk about our country as a place where people aren't getting disappeared or aren't being persecuted for their speech. It's typically just not people who are rich white men who attend Charlie Kirk memorials who experience those things. Anyway, I'm here to encourage you to talk to some of the bravest people on your campus instead of charging them when they engage in peaceful forms of protest that you as administrators find uncomfortable during a time of authoritarianism. These students are risking bigoted and violent autocrats like Trump and Netanyahu, who enthusiastically destroy human lives, families, communities, infrastructure, information, and even some of the freedoms that people like MSU administrators might enjoy. These students fighting for freedoms and human rights on a number of fronts are some of the people that are brave enough to ask you to look this stuff square in the face and engage in dialogue with them. And the university's administrators have the gall to act like these students are the threat. Please. We have been adults long enough. We have no excuse to have our heads in the sand. We fund modern genocides, and what's happening in Palestine has been recognized by international legal bodies as a genocide. And some of your students have brave enough to say it and ask you to speak with them about it and about your investments in racism and violence and death, brave enough to ask you to have the conversation, even if it takes asking you at times that aren't convenient or fun for you. But none of this is fun. But you charging students who use nonviolent tactics to ask you for dialogue is cowardice and is of peace with the types of repression that are happening all around us. We who have been adults for long enough to know better are continuing to destroy the planet. Our loved ones and our children must live on via uncritical and unethical adoption of any new technology that is shoved to the fore by billionaires, these kind of billionaires that the university administrators seem to love so much. And some of your students are brave enough to call out the multiple ways that MSU investments are destroying lives. And when they do, why should they have to be afraid of you punishing them for it? Why is this your response? And what forms of protest, nonviolent protest, are acceptable? Why is it typically only decades later that we might even celebrate students who engage in these actions? You who have been adults long enough should know how to love and respect and talk gracefully to the younger generations without surrounding yourselves with police and a twisted story about who exactly is dangerous, as the MSU president recently did during a student protest of the university's investments in genocide and weapons. the MSU president was only in danger of having a rich conversation. I demand that MSU drop any current or in-process charges against nonviolent protesters on your campus. I, as a parent who pays tuition here, would be watching and potentially organizing based on what you do next. Thanks for listening. And please talk to your brave students and full solidarity with BSA and any other groups that you're talking about.
Thank you, Craig. Our next speaker is Eli Foltz, followed by Amy Childers. Eli, good morning.
Morning, or good afternoon.
Yeah, sorry.
My name is Eli Foltz. I'm sure you've heard about me by now. I'm a senior working towards my degree in December, and I've also worked for IPF Landscape Services on campus for 2 years now. I especially go out of my way to make sure this campus looks nice. I pick up trash in my free time. Like, that is my goal, is I care about this campus. I care about this university. That is why I was protesting. Further, I'm currently facing disciplinary charges, as you know now, for exercising my First Amendment rights as participation this year by questioning Kevin Guskowitz on his leadership and his complicity in this genocide. And the reason it was Kevin, and the reason it's the board members typically, is because you nine are the only ones in this university who hold the power to change the investments. I spent my time at MSU in activist spaces organizing to make MSU a truly public university, one that works for the people who make it run. And I looked at times of inspiration when MSU was the first major public institution to divest from South Africa and give it 10 years, and then they were celebrated, given awards by the Office of Student Affairs. And that only happened after immense pressure from students, faculty, and community members, and that's what we're doing right now, the exact same thing. In this current moment, as I near graduation, I cannot say that I will be a proud Spartan or a proud alum. I cannot until MSU stands up for what is right. It is not political, it is human to stand in opposition to genocide and the industrial war machine. What is clear that is over $500 million of our endowment is tied in weapons manufacturers and directly into the state of Israel. I do not want to be affiliated with an institution that takes part in genocide. We are seeing a Holocaust, not a genocide, it is a Holocaust. Very clear. It is the complete destruction of a people, of a land, of culture, and memories. And so you no longer, none of you, have the privilege to hide behind this desk, to hide behind in your offices, away from students, away from faculty. At the same time, we are seeing the Trump and federal administration attack higher education, academic freedom, and free speech. It is integral that the university stands against authoritarian power grabs and overstepping. Over the last month, I've had friends, classmates, coworkers, and professors from every corner of this university reach out to me to offer their support. We all know what is at stake when a police officer and university officials threaten students with disciplinary action. It sets the dangerous precedent that individual officers can single out students for using their constitutionally protected rights to protest and dissent. An attack on one of us is an attack on us all. You, President Guskowitz, and the board have the power to make the right decision. Will you continue to invest in back genocide and authoritarianism, or will you stand with us, the people who live, learn, and work here, calling for peace and dignity?
Thank you, Eli. Our next speaker is Amy Childers, followed by Victor Rodriguez Pereira. Amy, good afternoon.
Tough act to follow. Hi, board. I'm Amy Childers. I'm a 4-H program coordinator in Genesee County for MSU Extension. 4-H is the youth development program of Michigan State University. And I'm also on the bargaining team for Extension United. In those bargaining negotiations, there might be some things that we disagree about, but I think three basic things we can agree on are that people need jobs that pay their bills, they need jobs that allow them times with their families, and that people want to live in communities where they can trust their neighbors. MSU Extension employees are those trusted neighbors in communities all over the state of Michigan. So I'm here today to ask if this board, I have a plea, I'm asking this board to use its influence to positively affect those negotiations. High turnover rates are threatening that trust that we have in our communities. So if you can support us having fair wages
and enough time with our families, we can continue to bring the resources and the research to our neighbors all across the state. Thank you so much. Happy Halloween and go green.
Right. Thank you, Amy. Our next speaker is Victor Rodriguez Pereira, followed by Wasim El Reyes. Victor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for that reminder. So I forgot it's not morning anymore. I'm here on behalf of, actually, I'm wearing three hats today, so I'm going to try to make this very clear and very quickly. My first hat is being the president of UNTF, representing the amazing workers at the MSU Extension Program. I'm not going to say a lot about them because they can tell you their stories. You're hearing from them this morning, and you will hear a bit more. But there's one thing that I want to say about it. It is difficult for us to reconcile that MSU is understandably displaying our university across the state, while on the other hand, not always lifting the workers who are the face of MSU across the state and in our communities. So please listen to them, take their words at heart. Their work is invaluable, and their contribution to our communities is also invaluable. My second hat is that of a faculty member. And the Spanish department, RCS, in the College of Arts and Letters. We are still dealing with the 9% general fund cuts to the university. I don't want to rehash the way those cuts came to be, but the sentiment among faculty that we've spoken with is one of distrust, unfortunately. I would be remiss if I did not convey that these cuts are severely impacting everything we do. We have units that won't even buy markers for faculty, professional development funds that might be irreversibly lost, graduate programs that are being suspended for who knows how long, departments that are already understaffed, not being able to hire people to teach necessary classes. And all of this is happening while we bring in more executive management at exorbitant salaries, and programs for underrepresented communities are being defunded. It's challenging for me when I am asked why MSU is asking so much of us while others are giving so little. There might be a disconnect here that might need further clarification with the community. Last but not least, I'm wearing a hat of a faculty senator here, and I wanted to say a couple of things about the Trump's compact. The Academic Senate recently approved a resolution calling on MSU to reject it. As an academic senator, I voted in favor of this resolution. This compact is a fascistic attempt at keeping a leash around our neck. We know there is a lot of at stake, and we know there are people on campus, many of whom are in this room, sitting on these tables, who are doing everything they can to protect MSU. All I ask is that this board does everything it can to help preserve our academic freedom, the ability to explore and converse about all aspects of humanity. A true university is one in which faculty are free to teach and students are free to explore and to question. Under Trump's compact, we will be nothing but a glorified propaganda center. I am hopeful that those of us in this room today will not let that happen, and we at UNTF are ready to help keep MSU a land-grant institution for all. Thank you.
Thank you. Victor. Our next speaker is Wasim El Reyes, followed by Savitri Anantharaman. Wasim, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So, trustees, last year I was a frequent speaker at board meetings. I came here to implore you to divest from the genocidal state of Israel. I told you that I am from Gaza, that more than 24 of my family members have been killed by Israel. I told you about the Israeli torture prisons with many cases of rape, one even caught on a security camera and released for the world to see. 2 years into this genocide, Israel has dropped 70 kilotons of explosives equivalent to 6 Hiroshimas on Gaza. Israel has killed more than 60,000 people. Those are the documented cases. According to Save the Children, Israeli forces have killed at least one Palestinian child every hour in Gaza, with the total number now surpassing 20,000. More than 1,000 of these children were infants under the age of one. Half were babies born and killed during the genocide. As bad as this is, the real death toll is estimated to be between 300 and 600,000 people, potentially as much as 30% of this besieged and starved population. There is now global consensus that a genocide is underway. Nevertheless, since I began testifying here, you have rejected any principled stand against the genocide, refusing to divest from this murderous regime and the weapons manufacturers that supply it. You have removed language from your bylaws that requires you to invest with social responsibility. As officials elected by the people of Michigan, you have turned your fiduciary responsibility for our public university over to a hedge fund manager. And now the president of our university, who's decided to leave us for now, the president of our university has allowed the police officer, his employee, to charge a student with coercion and intimidation in his name. This police officer has singled out Eli Foltz for punishment. Why? To make an example of him? To suppress the speech of a few voices on campus with the courage to condemn genocide and hold our public officials accountable for their decisions? Are those administrative decisions off-limit topics for members of our community, lest we upset the most powerful figure on campus, or steal a moment of your time while undertaking your public role? If you are unwilling to do the right thing by divesting from genocide, at least don't silence our students. Uphold their First Amendment rights and ask your employee to drop the charges. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Savitri Anandaraman, followed by Daniel Alquist. Savitri, are you with us? Yes, you are. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, trustees. Unfortunately, President Gusowitz has decided to leave us. My name is Savitri Anandaraman. I'm a recent graduate of MSU. During my time here, I was APASO's representative to the Multicultural Center, which I was really glad to get to see up in my time here, and co-president of James Madison College's Women of Color Coalition. I'm here today alongside a number of students and faculty members who are speaking to share a disappointment and anger with the university for pursuing disciplinary action against a student who is completely peacefully protesting, a student employee, Eli, who's a close friend and a wonderful person. Last month, as you all know now, Lieutenant Brandeman of MSU DPPS filed a complaint with the Office of Student Support and Accountability on behalf of President Gusowitz, alleging that Eli violated university policies around intimidation and disruption of university functions. For the last 2 years, Eli and other students have conducted exclusively peaceful protests, urging the university president and members of the board to divest MSU from all of its holdings that support the genocidal state of Israel and are complicit in the genocide of Palestinian people. After years of showing up to board meetings and making public comment, knowing that President Gusowitz would be at participation, students decided that it might be worth a shot to go speak with you there. Lieutenant Brandeman's claim that Eli's civil and very legitimate inquiries about divestment constituted intimidation and harassment, a charge which has since been withdrawn, is a dangerous mischaracterization of these students' protests and a complete abuse of power. In February of this year, President Gusowitz, you used your presidential report and trustees, a number of you used your report time to reaffirm your commitment to protecting students and workers on campus, including international students on campus who are all served by DEI initiatives. Since then, a number of international students have experienced visa terminations. Cores and CAMS groups have had over $100,000 of funding that they have not been able to access. And the university has resorted to threatening students with suspension or dismissal for expressing dissent. MSU's decision to stay silent or withholding in communications with students and workers about changing federal policy, and the decision to threaten and silence students, workers, and community members who serve as the moral compass and the blood of this university is dangerous. In an effort to appease the Trump administration, you, trustees, and President Guskowitz have compromised MSU's integrity and endangered all of us, all of the people that you answer to as public officials. President Guskowitz, Lieutenant Brandeman is downstairs today. I implore you to go talk to him and encourage him to drop charges against Eli. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Daniel Alquist, followed by Brenda Tracy. Daniel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Like many others, I'm here today to call on university leadership to drop the charges against Eli Foltz and to defend free speech on campus, including academic freedom and the right to peaceful protest. I acknowledge that this is a profoundly difficult time to lead a university and that the pressures and stakes surrounding your decisions are enormous, with the potential to forever alter the character, operation, and mission of this university. Indeed, this is precisely why it is imperative that the university drop the charges against Eli and take a more constructive approach to dealing with student protest. I've gotten to know Eli in and outside of class, and I can attest to his strong character, big heart, informed perspective, and courage to stand up in the face of injustice. Yes, Eli and his fellow protesters have been persistent and very vocal in their calls for divestment and dialogue with university leadership. But these charges against Eli, especially the charge of intimidation, are unfair, disproportionately harsh, and could negatively affect his life for years to come. The fact that these charges were brought forth by campus police and with so little transparency is alarming. Campus police have a difficult job, no doubt, but it is not their job to police our free speech. President Guskowitz himself stated publicly that he didn't even know about the charges until after they were filed. So why is the university still pursuing these charges? What is to be gained, and at what cost to Eli and to free speech on campus? This case presents an opportunity to model an alternative to the antagonistic, petty, punitive discourse that has become the status quo in this country. I urge university leadership, you all, to approach this matter constructively rather than punitively, to engage Eli and other protesters in productive dialogue, and to take their concerns seriously. Beyond my concern for Eli, I am deeply worried about the precedent this case will set in further stifling free speech on campus. As universities across the country buckle under pressure from Washington, our rights to free speech are under threat like never before in my lifetime. Many at MSU are already afraid to speak up and to attend events. And this case will set a dangerous precedent by legitimizing the use of institutional mechanisms and discourses of protection to silence dissent and target individuals. Make no mistake, this is a stepping stone in the march of authoritarianism. But we don't have to allow this march to continue unchallenged, and we certainly don't have to invite it onto our campus. MSU is one of the largest public universities in the country, and history has shown that what we do here matters. Instead of willingly ceding even more precious ground to the assault on free speech, I call on you to take a stand. I implore the university to drop the charges against Eli and to ensure that all members of the MSU community will always be able to exercise their right to free speech. Thank you.
Daniel, thank you. Our next speaker is Brenda Tracy, followed by Jenna Ali. Brenda, good afternoon.
Hello. My name is Brenda Tracy. I'm here today to make sure that we're all on the same page about things that have been said to me by GC Brian Quinn and VP Laura Ruggles. March 20th of 24, my lawyer informed me that at the direction of you, President Guskowitz, Mr. Quinn wanted to know if we wanted to go to mediation, and I said yes. Mr. Quinn asked for our demands, but he asked my attorney to hand deliver them because he was concerned about a second email being leaked from this board. As time passed, I would ask why mediation wasn't being scheduled, and I was told Mr. Quinn was speaking with the insurance companies. October 16th of 24, I came to Lansing to attend a conference on preventing sexual harassment. VP Ruggles approached my attorney and asked we would sit down and speak with her. During that meeting, VP Ruggles took notes as I recounted my trauma, including my own suicidality, and I described multiple failings of the RVSM process. I was told that she would take these notes to Mr. Quinn. October 24th of 24, I met with VP Ruggles again at the MSU library, where she let me know that she had the authority to engage in restorative justice practices through OIE. Her desire was to mitigate harm that had been done to me in my career. VP Ruggles said the MSU owes me a debt of gratitude, and she wanted to draft a public statement thanking me and showing support. I was also asked if I would help with MSU's policies. October 25th at 24, a year ago, I stood before you all. After that meeting, my attorney and I were invited to accompany VP Ruggles and Mr. Quinn back to his office. During that meeting, VP Ruggles reiterated her restorative justice options, all of which Mr. Quinn agreed to. VP Ruggles, including a public statement from this institution thanking me and showing support for me and my work. Mr. Quinn said, quote, "I know we have no right to ask you this, but we would be grateful if you would consider helping us with our policies." I answered that I was interested, but I would not do anything outside of formal mediation. I also made it clear that day that I did not want to sue this institution. My exact words were, "I will only sue you if you force me." Mr. Quinn said he would get mediation going, but again, nothing. So after 15 months of waiting for mediation to get scheduled, I sued this board June 3rd, 2025. Last month, you filed your motion to dismiss my lawsuit. In that motion, I was described as a money-hungry opportunist, and my character was likened to that of Mel Tucker, the man who was found responsible for sexually harassing me and exploiting me. So what happened, President Guskowitz? What changed, Brian, Laura? You were behind closed doors, you were empathetic and supportive, but after waiting 15 months for mediation and exercising my right to sue this board, this institution is now retaliating against me by calling me a money-hungry opportunist with disgraceful character. An offer of restorative justice that was meant to help me has turned into a calculated decision by this institution to publicly degrade and humiliate me. I know I've gone over my time, but in closing, I want you all to know I'm not going anywhere, and I will continue to fight this.
Thank you, Brenda. Our next speaker is Jenna Ali, followed by Anna Wildman.
Jenna, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Jenna Ali. I am a junior at MSU studying international relations. I'm a liaison between James Madison Women of Color, Arab Cultural Society, and the Hodeya Coalition. While there are a plethora of issues I wish I could address right now, I am here regarding the importance of free speech, which is currently being under attack in light of the recent charges against Eli Foltz. I made the decision to speak today, firstly, as a proud Arab and Muslim student who sees and experiences firsthand the oppression and attempted silencing of Arab and pro-Palestinian voices, and secondly, because I was a witness at the incident as participation. Charging Eli Foltz with intimidation and disruption are invalid, as you, President Guskowitz, were protected by multiple police officers while Eli remained unguarded and voiced his concerns for MSU's direct investments into genocide, something that his constitutional right under the First Amendment. Investments into Lockheed Martin, Boeing, BlackRock, and even directly into the Israeli occupational force continue to fund and perpetuate the current genocide in Gaza, killing men, women, and children in the hundreds of thousands, not to mention the current level 5 famine, which will affect Palestinians for generations to come. Mike Bailo, you mentioned the Spartans that have lost their lives fighting for freedom, but no one here has acknowledged the death of Tariq Thabit, a Spartan who died in an airstrike in Gaza, working to uplift his people. You can attend a vigil for Charlie Kirk, but not him? Whose free speech do you actually support? As this university remains on the wrong side of history, on the complicit side of history, and on the greedy side of history, Eli was brave enough to directly confront this injustice and complete absence of morals from MSU. Eli spoke and acted with the humanity that this university lacks. He spoke up for voices that cannot speak as they are being silenced by the censorship of pro-Palestinian articles and media, silenced by bombs, bullets, and burial under the rubble of buildings that once stood tall in Gaza. Eli is not a symbol for any manner of violence or intimidation toward anyone, let alone the president of Michigan State University. It is not how we, as the Hurriya Coalition, operate, and it is not in Eli's character either, as somebody who personally knows him and sees him once a week for hours-long Korean meetings, trying to get divestment. We are grateful to hear and hopeful to hear that the harassment charge has been dropped, but I would like to call for the dropping of the disruption and intimidation charges against Eli Foltz, as they are unjust, unconstitutional, and a threat to the free speech of every student on campus, as well for the divestment of MSU's genocidal bonds. Thank you, and free Palestine.
Thank you, Jana. Our next speaker is Anna Wildman, followed by Anna Pegler-Gordon, appearing via Zoom.
Anna, good afternoon.
Hello. My name is Anna Wildman, and I'm a junior studying journalism at Michigan State. I'm here today because I feel it is my moral responsibility as a human being to stand up for all of the men, women, and children being massacred in Palestine. And I want all of you to understand that is your moral responsibility, too. Rarely are we as citizens meaningfully empowered to prevent corrupt governments from committing war crimes, but right now you are. I struggle to see how each and every one of you can't seem to understand that the actions you take now will go down in history. The issue of divestment is bigger than you, is bigger than me, is bigger than any way in which financial losses will affect this university. The choice between divestment and complicity is a choice between humanity and evil. 2 years ago, a Humphrey Fellow at MSU named Tariq Thabet was killed by a bomb that this university paid for. Unfortunately, him and the 15 other members of his family who were killed are only a small fraction of the hundreds of thousands of civilians murdered by the Israeli military. The investments in many weapons manufacturers like Lockheed Martin and BlackRock that this university insists on keeping directly contribute to the slaughtering of these men, women, and children. For this reason, I find it more than a bit ridiculous that you argue against divestment because it would cause this university to suffer. You do not know what it means to suffer. It is easy to hide behind your comfortable lifestyle and pretend you don't know what's happening overseas. You don't have to hear the screams of mothers who have lost their children. You don't have to smell the stench of unclaimed bodies rotting in garbage bags. So you can allow yourself to forget, but we will not. Every person in this room understands that divestment is not easy. We understand that it will come with ramifications that will affect multiple levels of the university, and I can empathize with the fact that this decision would be chaotic and stressful to the administration. But every possible consequence that divestment brings is minuscule compared to the level of suffering happening in Palestine. So please, on behalf of every person in the Haria Coalition, I ask that President Guskowitz and the Board of Trustees divest every dollar from both aid to Israel and weapons manufacturing. I also ask that you drop all charges against Eli Foltz, because the only thing he is guilty of is peacefully exercising his right to free speech. I do not mean for my comments to be offensive. I only mean to emphasize how important it is for all of you to stand with us on the right side of history. Life is a precious gift. I urge all of you to use it to do something beautiful for this world while you still can. Thank you, and free Palestine.
Thank you, Anna. Our next speaker is Anna Pegler-Gordon, appearing via Zoom, and then Nassim Saeed. Anna, can you hear us on the Zoom link?
I can.
Good afternoon. Please begin your comments.
Thank you. I am a professor in James Madison College. I'm here today to express my grave concerns about freedom of speech at MSU and to share my particular concerns about the case that is being made against undergraduate student Eli Foltz. In JMC, where Eli is a student, we teach our students about the fundamentals of U.S. and global governance. We teach about social movements and civil society. We teach about free speech and the ways that speech is restricted. We know that speech is often restricted in subtle ways. Eli was a student in my Asian American history class, where we learned how the Hawaiian language was restricted in schools and newspapers during the 19th century. The rationale was never stated as the restriction of speech or Hawaiian independence movements. It was to improve Indigenous students' educational opportunities. I am currently co-leading an honors option for first-year JMC students in which we are reading Adam Hochschild's American Midnight about massive censorship and the threat to American democracy during World War I. The reasons for this censorship were never stated as the restriction of speech. It was to bolster morale and win the war. In Eli Foltz's case, an undergraduate student has been accused of harassing and intimidating the president of our university at a public event when the student was engaged in a protest with other students. Eli was the only student among this group targeted for disciplinary action. The rationale is not restricting his speech, but violating university policies. I recognize that there can be a tension between free speech and the university's codes of conduct. In fact, earlier this week, we had a JMC teach-in and town hall about these exact issues. This is not that situation. This is the weaponization of university policies to restrict legitimate protest. At the most recent meeting of the James Madison College Assembled, a meeting which includes all staff, faculty, and administrators of our college, we voted in support of our Student Senate statement that the university is setting a dangerous precedent in pursuing charges against Eli. I join with students in ASMSU, BSA, and the JMC Student Senate, and with my colleagues in the James Madison College assembled, to urge Michigan State University to drop all charges against Eli Faltz and to reaffirm the rights of students, including especially the fundamental right to speech. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Our next speaker is Nassim Said, followed by David Hogan. Nassim, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I wrote a long-ass speech, but to be honest, I don't want to read it. I talked about how it's about Eli. I talked about how we have a trustee that was a philosopher of ethics, someone who was into law. I talked about the values that you guys all ran to become these board of trustees. And it's actually written, I used Grammarly, and I'm not, like, my grammar isn't the best, so I'm just going to speak to you as a Palestinian. We've spoken a lot in the past, and honestly, I don't think my words matter to you, so this is just going to be 2 minutes and 20 seconds of me yapping about my family back at home and about Eli Faltz. I'm going to Palestine this December, risking going through the borders that I'm forced to go through because I'm not allowed to go directly to my own country. My family lives every single day under the fear of occupation and the fear of the settlers that illegally attack them in their own homes. And us as students, we got the privilege and the opportunity to travel outside our own homes and to come to countries that are built such as the United States of America and to educate people like our peers and our students about what's happening in the world. And us as a student movement, we strive not to be evil, not to be bad, not to disturb, not to intimidate, and not to put fear into anyone, especially those millionaires that are cutting the budgets of everyone around us, yet they get a raise. We strive to educate about the rest of the world, just like Martin Luther King was educating, and he was an activist for the civil rights movement. That's what we are. That's what Eli Faltz is. He's educating about the pain and the struggle of the Palestinian people and the Palestinian cause. Now, again, I don't know if my words matter to you. I genuinely don't. It's been 2.5 years of me coming and yapping, and nothing has changed in this university. But I always reframe to using these words, but I want to tell you that every single one of you that's sitting on that table today is complicit in the killing of my own people in Gaza. And the reason I reframed from using those words because I thought I thought that you guys had empathy. I thought you guys had sympathy for the world and for the people out there, but you don't. But I believe that maybe that your leadership might come in handy, and I believe that you might drop the charges that the police department allegedly put on Eli, the disturbance and the intimidation, because I don't think you were intimidated and I don't think you were disturbed, and you yourself didn't claim to have those charges. So I beg you to drop them, because Eli, he works hard to make this university good by educating about the world and through his job in IPF. And I'm sorry I passed my time, but please, like, what are we doing here, man? Like, tired with these eloquent speeches, and people are dying, 68,000 killed.
Thank you, Nassim. Our next speaker is David Hogan, followed by Tyler Alt. David, good afternoon.
I'm going to be echoing a lot of what Nassim said. It's been about 2 years since I've been coming to these meetings, and since I've been coming to them and speaking at them, I've always spent my time figuring out how to find the right words to make you guys care. And I've realized, I think, over my time that it might not be my words, but yours. Trustee Vassar, earlier you talked about how we need more student representation in decision-making. On April 10th, as we were talking in our meeting before students were arrested, we were continually dismissed as not understanding what was going on, and you sat by silently. President Guskowitz, you said the last thing you wanted to do was arrest students and harm our community. You then proceeded to arrest 17 students and two community members. Trustee Denno, you said we felt as if you were holding a gun to your head. And now, what would you say to the student who has been protesting peacefully on campus and is now having his degree threatened? Trustee Bahar Cook, you decided not to show at this meeting. Actions like this have never been taken against a student at this university. We've talked with those who were involved with South African apartheid divestment, and they said it's unprecedented. The precedent which you are setting is extremely dangerous. We see this as not just an infringement on our right to protest, but as an infringement on academic freedoms and freedom of speech completely. Trustee Bailo, you have repeatedly talked about the openness and transparency of this board, and yet you are now complicit in holding behind closed doors meetings and removing our opportunity to speak to you. So it is our point now that coming to this meeting alone, while it is important to share our stories, stories which I cannot share because I do not hold the same identities that many of the marginalized students here do, it is not our job to come here and just speak to you. We must speak to you because our stories must be heard, but simply just speaking to you and not doing the things that Eli did and protesting would simply be capitulation. The students of Michigan State University will not capitulate. We will make our voices heard and we will make them known. And we will do that outside of these walls and around campus, and we will do them with the support of the faculty, of the students, of the staff, as represented by an ASMSU vote to support Eli's dropping the charges on Eli, and as the JMC College Assembled faculty voting to support the student statement. There is a lot here which needs to be done, and the first step has to come with dropping the charges on Eli. So I implore you, President Guskowitz, to talk with Lieutenant Brandman and drop these unjust charges.
Thank you, David. Our next speaker is Tyler Augs, followed by Joe Garza. Tyler, good afternoon.
Hello, everybody. Yes, my name is Tyler Augs. I'm an MSU Extension educator based down in Southwest Michigan, Van Buren County. I do government and community vitality education for our Community Food and Environment Institute within Extension. That's my institutional who I am. When I talk with communities, I'm your Extension educator to provide support, resource, education to our local elected, appointed, and community leaders. Most of my work is in planning and zoning, helping planning commissioners, zoning board of appeals members learn how to do their important roles. I also have that extension role of taking what's done here on the campus, bringing it out to local communities, like our recent work on short-term rental policy options for local communities. How can they regulate this new land use based on some research that was done by our Center for Local Government and Finance and Policy here on campus? I also am involved in helping folks understand how government works, teaching governing essentials webinars on Open Meetings Act, parliamentary procedure, and the components of extraordinary governance. All of this work works best when delivered by folks deeply embedded in the community. Because I'm not only teaching about this, I'm doing it. I'm a member of my Cass County Planning Commission. I'm a former school board member involved in various nonprofits. Next Tuesday, I'll be working in my local township for the election. Reminder, go vote next Tuesday. So I'm out there. I'm in it. That's the strength of MSU Extension in our communities. We are the community members going through it with our participants who can be that trusted ear when a township supervisor wants to know, how do I get a grant for roads? They call Tyler up and ask, where do you find grants? And we connect them to the resources both here on campus and across the state. Now, doing that work, having those deep personal connections, it's phenomenal. I would love to spend the rest of my career working for you all out in the state of Michigan, making communities better. It's challenging, though, as you've heard from other Extension folks today. I don't know, year to year, if I'm going to have a job again. It's one-year contracts. I don't know what the salary and benefits are going to look like in the future. Is it going to go up, hopefully, or are we going to have another year where my benefits are actually cut? These are the realities of the position. It makes it difficult to work with these partners, to share that knowledge and resource. I've had to have interviews with partners, trying to get a job at their organization
because it's going to have more security and better benefits and pay than my current work. That creates an interesting dynamic, doesn't it? When your partners know that my institution isn't valuing me enough to keep me long term. So I encourage you, as our contract comes up, think about me, my fellow Extension employees, and how we can continue to engage long term for communities. Happy Halloween and blessed Samhain.
Thank you, Tyler. Our next speaker is Joe Garza, followed by Caleb Xiang. Joe, greetings. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Joe Garza. I'm president of the Administrative Professional Supervisors Association and the chair of the Coalition of Labor Organizations at Michigan State University. I wanted to address President Guskowitz's October 22nd, 2025 email to the MSU community about the upcoming financial decisions and budget plans. The president stated that you have been working to mitigate the effects of broadly rising costs, including employee health care, and he also appropriately recognized and acknowledged that layoffs have a deep impact on employees and are felt by more than just the actual employee who is being laid off. The APSA is not only a union representing workers, but a partner with the university because we recognize the collective nature of this relationship. We have always taken the approach of being an advocate for our members, not adversarial. We have worked together with the university in addressing healthcare expenses. Since 1998, when the partnership was formed, decisions we have made have saved the university millions in healthcare expenses. We will continue this joint effort. I want the board and the president to understand the impact of the layoffs from the union's perspective. I've had numerous conversations over the last couple of months with laid off employees wondering how they're going to make ends meet. Many were single parents with limited options. One laid off employee had her father die the week before her layoff and was facing a cancer diagnosis and upcoming surgery. They were wondering how they would afford the cancer treatment without their insurance. In another instance, one of our members had been performing additional duties of an open position. They hired a new staff member to assume those duties on Friday, and our member was then laid off on Monday. We had to figure out how to help them out as best as we could, and we are still communicating with them today. We have not forgotten them. I would hope that we could avoid future layoffs. During the pandemic, we worked with RHS and EVP Vinnie Gore at the time to create bonus positions to maintain full-time staff and avoid layoffs. My understanding was that the division depleted their financial reserves to preserve the staff they had during this difficult time. This action was in line with the 2030 strategic plan of investing in staff. MSU's biggest investment and most important asset is exceptionally talented faculty and staff at the core of the Spartan community. There's always room for improvement. We're meeting with Central HR on November 12, 2025 to discuss and review the layoff process that we just experienced and how we can do better moving forward. With the budget request letter coming in November, the budget summit in December, and the budget submissions due in January 2026, we would urge the board to take a strong stance that layoffs should be isolated events. Additionally, we would urge the board to encourage and direct administration to be transparent with the unions and work collaboratively with us as these difficult future decisions. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Our next speaker is Caleb Xiang, followed by Sophia Zuba. Caleb, are you with us? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Caleb. I'm currently a freshman studying at Michigan State University. And before I begin my speech, I would like to say that I'm incredibly disappointed with the behavior of the Board of Trustees at this current meeting. Dennis Dono, you seem to feel like your phone seems more important than listening to the members of your community. And President Guskowitz, you seem to feel like a can of Coke is more important than listening to speeches. I'm just incredibly disappointed. But despite that, I came into this university believing that this has always been one for the people. As the nation's pioneer land-grant university, MSU provided education for working-class Americans when college was a privilege for the wealthy. Dennis Dono, please look at me while I'm speaking. It opened its doors to women, African-American, and other marginalized communities and it appointed its first minority president of a major public university, Dr. Wharton, in 1970, and was among the first to divest from apartheid South Africa in 1978. But this has not come without Michigan State's long-standing tradition of activism, leading the nation in its ethics, opportunity, and global education. And I feel proud to be a Spartan when looking at our history. You know, I feel proud to be a Spartan when looking at our prolific research across the world, but I do not feel that same pride when I look at you, the Board of Trustees, investing in policies that contradict directly with MSU's values. I do not feel that same pride when you turn a blind eye to your own involvement in human suffering, to the suffering of your own members. I do not feel that same pride. I feel disgusted when I see you threaten peaceful protesters like Eli Foltz. I feel disgusted when I see this university profit from the genocide of Palestinians, from bombs dropped on children, funded and manufactured by companies that line our investment portfolios. I am not proud to be a Spartan, because you are profiting from death, Kevin Guskowitz. You are profiting from the mothers and fathers crying through the rubble for the children, from the raped, tortured, and disfigured bodies in Israeli prisons. You are profiting from families searching for loved ones in mass graves, from starving children and the kidnapped. But you already know this. You've seen the images and read the reports. Nothing I say is new. I do not need to remind you of what's happening in Gaza. I do not need to remind you of Israeli systematic targeting of refugee camps, journalists, and academics, and doctors like yourself. I do not need to remind you of 5-year-old Shin Rahab, who was murdered when the Israeli military fired 335 rounds into her car. And I should not need to remind you of MSU students like Tariq Thabet, who was murdered by Israeli bombs that we fund. And yet you continue to invest, you continue to fund atrocities. Divestment is not radical. It is what we have always done when faced with moral crisis, from apartheid to now. So I urge you to divest from Israeli bonds and weapons manufacturers and invest in your own community. Drop the charges against defaults and stand with your students, your faculty, and your conscience, and let MSU stand once again as a leader, not in profit and shame, but in principle. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Sophia Zuber, followed by Aisha Zakaria. Sophia? Sophia, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Sophia Zuber. I stand before you today as a junior here at Michigan State University and a member of the Honors College and Lyman Briggs College. I study biochemistry, molecular biology, and Spanish. Growing up in Flushing, Michigan, a small community near the city of Flint, I've always wanted to be a scientist and a Spartan. I remember being in elementary and middle school and hearing the stories of my friends as they experienced the Flint water crisis. These experiences shaped the way I saw the world and led me to join groups on this campus fighting for a better world, such as the Sunrise Movement and the Hurria Coalition. I often found myself battling between my commitment to the greater good and a scientific career because I was told that I'd have to concede my belief in the former to succeed in the latter. It wasn't until I had a very wise English teacher in high school put it in perspective for me that I could do both as a doctor and a researcher. From that moment forward, I put my nose to the grindstone so that I could be the first doctor in my family. I also stand before you today as a pre-med student who has watched as Israel commits a genocide in Palestine for the past 2 years. My classmates, future doctors, nurses, and medical practitioners walk the halls, sidewalks, and trails of this campus as the IDF murders our prospective colleagues. In April of this year, The Guardian released two pieces detailing the Rafah paramedic massacre, where 15 healthcare workers were killed by the IDF. The Palestinian Red Crescent Society, PCRS, announced that after the completion of autopsies, that the workers were shot in the upper body with intent to kill. A paper published this month in the Scandinavian Journal of Trauma, Resuscitation, and Emergency Medicine detailed the intensity of traumatic brain injuries, TBIs, in patients in Gaza. The authors found that of the 244 patients included in the study, 26.2% died within the first 30 days, known as the acute period, in TBI care. Those admitted with the Glasgow coma score below 8, which is indicative of severe brain injury, had significantly higher mortality rates. Additionally, they called attention to the destruction of healthcare infrastructure by Israel as being massively impactful on patient healthcare outcomes. I highlight this paper specifically because it lies within President Guskowitz's area of expertise as a scholar in neuroscience, specifically in the study of traumatic brain injuries. As this university continues to tote on about the expansion and growth of our medical school, there are no fully functioning hospitals left in Gaza. As this university brings disciplinary charges toward my friend Eli Foltz, hospitals have been leveled, bulldozed, and bombed. I cannot in good conscience be silent as a school that I attend for my undergraduate and hope to attend for medical school, remains invested in Israeli bonds and weapons manufacturers, which fund this ongoing genocide. I will now use the rest of my time to read the names of physicians who have been killed in this genocide. Dr. Omar Farwana, a professor and former dean of the Islamic University of Gaza Medical School and andrologist in Gaza. Dr. Aya Farwana, the former daughter, a family medicine specialist from Gaza. Dr. Medhat Saidim, a senior burn and plastic surgeon specialist at Shifa Hospital. Dr. Mohammed Dabour, a consultant pathologist and dean of preclinical medicine in the Islamic University of Gaza Medical School. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sophia. Our next speaker is Aisha Zakaria. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Aisha Zakaria, and I am the co-advocacy chair for the Asian Pacific American Student Organization and one of two vice presidents for the Muslim Student Association. President Guskowitz, just earlier this week, I was highlighted in your Spartan community letter for my advocacy for transfer students. And while I'm humbled by this recognition, I must admit that it feels hollow. Just a few months ago, I sat second to the row right behind you at the MCC's ribbon-cutting ceremony. I listened to you speak of your admiration and pride for this university's student leaders' advocacy and their commitment to their needs being met to achieve things like the MCC. You, along with Board Trustee Tibe, who also spoke there, affirmed this university's commitment to creating a safe and welcoming space for all students on this campus and cited MSU student leaders as the fuel to this continuing mission. So I ask you, as well as all trustees present here today, how is it that you celebrate this university's legacy of student advocacy and yet refuse to let it happen today? How is it that you silence it and penalize it? My fellow student leaders from BSA have spoken about your refusal to meet with them, to listen to their needs as they, along with all Corazon Camps groups, are asked to reform our organization's entire identities, an ultimatum given to us on September 12th to change our mission statements and constitutions in order to continue to exist as student orgs on this campus. In response to student advocacy, you press charges against your students, against Eli Foltz, member of the Hurriya Coalition, an organization which has never been anything but peaceful. You called the police on a number of students back in April after they organized a sit-in at this very building to urge for divestment. For your information, since you're new here, Mr. President, the MCC was achieved through a student sit-in. MSU flaunts its legacy of being the first U.S. university to divest from the South African apartheid 47 years ago, yet today it invests in weapon manufacturers that supply apartheid and genocide in the Middle East. Is our past something to only be admired and not something to learn from, to guide our present? If Michigan State University does not appreciate our presence, then it deserves to feel our absence, said NASO in a statement announcing their difficult decision to move their annual powwow that's traditionally held on our campus all the way to Detroit because Native students do not feel on a campus amidst this administration's silence on the bigoted and hateful attacks on them, attacks from people who you attended the Charlie Kirk vigil with, Trustee Baylor, attacks that go against the very land acknowledgement cited at the beginning of this very meeting. There's so much that I have to say, clearly, but in case you are a little lost, I am here for one thing, and it is the fact that this administration has managed to fail its students on so many different fronts. It has failed to serve and protect them at a time when our identities and rights are threatened by the federal government more than ever before. As the land acknowledgement, MSU's values and mission statements, the Hate Has No Home Here campaign flyers that are plastered all over the dorms of our campus, have they no weight to you? Are these just light words on light paper that are there to decorate MSU's websites and hallways? Words to fill in your opening statements and speeches? Today, I ask you to do this. I ask you to be what you say you are. I ask you to meet with BSA. I ask you to support the Corazon Camps Coalition and its leaders. I ask you to drop the charges against Eli Foltz. I ask you to divest from the business of bombing the Middle East, my home and where my family
are. We are going to have to move on, so thank you.
I'm aware I am wrapping up right now.
No, I think you've exceeded the time, so thank you for that. I just want to be consistent with the public comments, so thank you.
Well, I just want to take the time to say that this has been incredibly unprofessional. So many trustees here refuse to look us in the eyes and would rather scroll on.
President Guskowitz, that this concludes our final list of speakers for this morning's public meeting.
With good.
I'd like to thank everyone for attending today. I hope you have a great weekend, and I'll ask if there's a motion to adjourn. Second. All those in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you. The meeting's adjourned.